St. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Dear children of God, dear baptized of God, richly, generously provided for by God. In our catechism, we confess, and as we did today in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And in our catechism, what does that mean? That He, our Father, richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. So we say, I believe that He provides me with everything, that He takes care of everything, and that there isn't a single thing that our Heavenly Father would not give to me if I needed it. Do we believe that? I believe that we do believe. Yet it's not by our own reason or strength. We confess the Holy Ghost has called us by the gospel, by the power of His word. And Scripture says, by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So that means that even faith is a gracious gift of our Father. However, just like the disciples, we too have our moments of doubt, of unbelief. As that man said, I believe, but yet, Lord, help my unbelief. Especially when things go wrong. It's a lot easier said than done to put all our trust in the hands of God, to put everything in His hands and simply believe He'll make it work out for good. Jesus is not here to condemn the weak faith, as He calls it, the little faith. Jesus is here to strengthen our faith. That's why we need His word. That's why we need our baptism and the reminder that we were baptized. That's why we need the true body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for the remission of our sin. Our faith needs to be fed. And today, it's all about feeding everything else but faith. Feeding the desires of the flesh. But our faith needs to be fed. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I believe God the Father Almighty daily, richly provides all that I need. We notice that Jesus only mentions the word faith one time in today's lesson, but yet must we not confess every other word Jesus speaks today is also directly about faith. For example, he directs our attention to the birds. Well, come on. What do birds and flowers have to do with faith? Jesus explains. Notice how the birds never plant anything. They never plant vegetables or grow fruit trees. They never harvest. And of the food that they do gather, they never store it anywhere. They don't build barns. They don't store it in the fridge. And yet somehow they just assume, it seems, that that food is always going to be there for them. And miraculously, it always is there for them. They never starve because our Father in heaven takes care of them too. And then Jesus says clearly, you are of more value than a bird. You were created to live with God forever, created in His image. And when we lost that image through sin, when we lost that true knowledge of God, our Heavenly Father restored that image. He gave us His Son, His only begotten Son, to be judged and to be condemned for our sin, that we might be forgiven of all our sin. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So if God has concern for the birds, if our Father never fails to feed the birds, how much more will He never fail to feed and to provide for us? He says, O ye of little faith. Let us not be offended that He calls us ye of little faith. Let us be honored that He takes the time to strengthen and to gently nourish, to feed that little faith in us, reminding us that we are His children. He says, your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. We're His children. Jesus says, adopted by grace in Jesus Christ. He knows our needs. He understands our needs. Jesus Christ was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He felt hunger for 40 days and nights. He went without food. He knew what it was like to be in that situation where it seems like God has forgotten us. He also felt severe thirst and obviously pain and loneliness as He suffered on the cross for us all. He understands our need. And she isn't going to let his children starve. He came first and foremost to make satisfaction for our every sin. But he also is not going to let us starve. Scripture says that he that spared not his only begotten Son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He knows our needs, and he promises to always provide. And yet still, when it comes to bodily needs, we say, "Thy will be done," trusting that he will provide what's best. Therefore, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The God of Mammon says, no, seek first the things of this life, because God is not in control. You are. It's all about you and your hard work and your capabilities and intelligence. Therefore, you need to get your hands on as much money as possible. Look at all the things you can control with more money. Look at all the extra doors you can open with more money. You're the only one who can unlock those doors with more money. That's the wisdom of this world, the God of Mammon. And so, therefore, average is not enough. I gotta be rich. I gotta have the best of everything. But the problem with that is that there is no rest or peace in serving the God of Mammon, because more never turns out to be enough. Even if we hypothetically reached $1 billion, think of all the time and the effort and the money that would be wasted on simply trying to protect all that money. The constant suspicion that our friends could only be there to get our money. Jesus invites us to cast aside that false god of loving money and to put our faith in our Father in heaven alone, who richly, daily provides me with everything that I need. Everything that I need to support this body and this life. But actually, that's the smaller, lesser gift. As great as it is that God daily and richly provides for our body, that's the lesser gift. God's grace in his Son, Jesus Christ, that's the greater gift. Whoever has that gift in his heart is the richest person in the world. In the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man turned out to be the poorest man in the world because he did not have the eternal riches of Christ in the heart. The poor man Lazarus turned out to be the richest man in the world because he had that overflowing riches of God's grace in the heart. That's you, believers in Christ. baptized of God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're the richest person in the world because you enjoy the greatest gift that God has to give. Peace in knowing our every sin is forgiven. Peace knowing that God is at peace with us for the sake of His Son. Rest in the promise of eternal life in Jesus. The Scripture is clear that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And can more money grant that peace and rest, that peace and rest for our soul? 5 times Jesus mentions the phrase taking thought, which means to be anxious or to worry, and He's saying not to do that. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Take no thought for tomorrow. And which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit, about 18 inches, to his height? And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Jesus is saying, why worry? Why be anxious? It's completely unnecessary. Our Father in heaven will always provide. So Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. True wealth is having our sins covered by the perfect righteousness of God's Son. True riches is knowing God is at peace with us because Christ made satisfaction for all our sin on the cross. We were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Jesus rose again from that and proves that our sin is forgiven. How can we ever be poor knowing Christ gained eternal treasure for us in heaven by going to the cross? He promises to continue to be with us and to provide all that we need in both body and soul. He invites us to rely on Him, to trust in Him. As His Word says, cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He invites us to not trust in the temporary fading things of this world. I believe in God the Father Almighty, that He richly, daily provides all that I need for this body and life. And He also continues to provide for our soul. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passeth all understanding keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.